Recently, as I did some reading and watched a podcast by a brother in the Lord, some thoughts concerning God, the present coronavirus, and believers came to my mind, and I thought I'd share them with you. To hear or read the opinions of many, we're facing a medical crisis that cannot be compared with anything that's happened in the last 100 years. In our country, you'd probably have to go back to the Spanish flu of 1918 to find what they consider to be a similar level of crisis. Now, I'm not qualified to verify or deny that. Unfortunately, the government and the press have cried wolf over so many crises that in the end proved to be of little consequence at all, that we are prone not to believe them or not to take them seriously. That's the danger of a sensationalized press. But we who believe God are called on to approach this event, whether or not it's a crisis, just as we are to treat all events. Paul wrote, "Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel." You can find that in Philippians 1:27. Now, the Greek word translated worthy is not to be taken as saying that we can walk in a way that makes us worthy of the blessings that are freely given to us in the gospel. Rather, it means that believers in all circumstances are to walk in a manner that is consistent with the gospel that they claim to believe. Now, what does this mean? Well, first of all, living a life worthy of the gospel in the face of this possible medical catastrophe means acknowledging that this disease is from God. Everything, whether pleasant or unpleasant, is from the Lord. When Job learned that disaster had befallen his household, he said, "The Lord gave and the Lord took away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And when Eli heard that his sons had been killed, he responded, "It is the Lord. Let him do as seems good in his sight." Many have already gotten this disease, and doubtless many more will. And prayers, even fervent and believing prayers, will be sent up for them. And God will deliver some of them from that disease. And they will get well and continue to live a normal life. And God's gracious healing will no doubt result in praise to God. And it should. Remember the words of the psalmist, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." And among the benefits listed is this, "who heals all your diseases." But as we thank God for his healing mercies, let us keep in mind that he's not only the one who will heal people from this disease, he is the one who sent the disease in the first place. He said, "I kill and I make alive, I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. And again, I form the light and I create darkness. I bring prosperity and create disaster. I, the Lord, do all these things." As believers in our Lord Jesus Christ, we gladly acknowledge that all things are from God. We do not feel the necessity to justify God in this. As God, he's got the right to do with his universe whatever he wants to do. And none of us can stop him, and none of us even have the right to question what he's doing. Secondly, to walk worthy of the gospel means that even as we acknowledge that God has a purpose in sending this pandemic, we also acknowledge that we do not know what his purpose is. We do know that God's overall purpose for creation is to glorify himself by the exaltation of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But we do not know how this virus fits into that purpose. So walking worthy of the gospel means that we shall still trust our God, just as a child trusts his father, even though he does not know the purpose for his father's actions. Doubtless, there will be many preachers who will use this as an opportunity to pronounce this disease to be a judgment against whatever group they think is worthy of God's judgment. But the fact is, there are no prophets of the kind necessary who can tell us God's immediate purpose in sending this disease. Over the years, I have heard preachers ascribe this or that catastrophe to God's judgment. For example, when the HIV virus emerged and it became clear that it was most closely associated with the practice of homosexuality and drug use, many claimed that it was a judgment from God aimed specifically at the homosexual community. Yet, here we are, some 30 or more years removed from the arrival of HIV, and the number of practicing homosexuals did not decrease, it increased. The disease created sympathy in the hearts of many for the homosexual community, and that sympathy was turned to greater tolerance, which led to outright approval of homosexual activity. This approval allowed for their homosexual unions to be granted the dignity of marriage. And now the only crime associated with homosexuality is the crime of not being willing to service their weddings. And drug use continues to plague our society to such an extent that we are considered to be in an opioid crisis. So if HIV was God's judgmental response to homosexuality and drug use with the intention of destroying such abusers, or to bring them to repentance, we cannot avoid the conclusion that God's judgments do not count for much. So let believers hold their judging tongue. We don't know why God has sent this virus. Third, in order to walk worthy of the gospel, we must resist the urge to find any sort of satisfaction in the deaths of those whom we may believe are troublesome to God's church in this world. And it is even more important that we not claim that our escape from any of the fallout from this disease is some proof that God is pleased with us more than he is with others. We simply must not try to determine God's attitude toward individuals or groups or even ourselves by the events that befall them and us. Fourth, in order to walk worthy of the gospel, we must pray to our God to show mercy. There can be no doubt that this world, we believers included, are worthy of any judgment that God is pleased to pour out on us. Anything less than hell is mercy. And I must be honest with you, there are none so worthy of temporal judgment than the multitudes who take up the name of Christ but have twisted and distorted his gospel into something unrecognizable. Peter wrote, "It is time for judgment to begin with God's household." No matter who we may think is humanly responsible for the spread of this disease, we must pray that God in wrath will remember mercy. In all things and at all times, all of us are at God's mercy. No amount of governmental and medical efforts will prove helpful if the Lord does not bless it. He can kill few, many, or even everyone if it pleases him. Remember that on one occasion, God wiped out the entire world except for 8 people. We are helpless against his will. But as believers, we're not hopeless, for we have free access to the throne of grace, there to seek mercy to help us and others in our time of need. Fifth, in order to walk worthy of the gospel, we must live without fear. We sometimes sing the hymn, "This is my Father's world," and we take great comfort in that fact. And this means that we can look this pandemic square in the eye and have no fear. This does not mean that we can live without fear because God has promised that if we believe, the disease will not touch us. Rather, it means that we can live without fear even as we know that our Father may have ordained that we or one of our loved ones will become sick and die by it. Sadness and grief over loss is appropriate. The Bible says there's a time to laugh and a time to cry. But for the people of God, there is never a time for fear. We know that whatever happens, it has been the work of the same Father who spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all. And he will surely, with him, give us all things. all things that are good for us. Paul wrote that all things are ours. And within the list of things that he says are ours, he included death. Now, it may seem strange to count death as something that's given to us as a possession or as a gracious gift. But for the believer, death is a gift. It is the door through which he passes into the presence of his God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as this disease runs the course God has ordained, and keep in mind, that's exactly the course it will run, some believers will catch this disease and some of them will die. The children of God are not exempt from the troubles common to man. But we who believe do not have to look at these troubles the same way the world does. Times may get tough, and we may experience great sorrow. But nothing will harm the child of God, not even if it kills him. Sixth, in order to walk worthy of the gospel, we must be ready to lend a hand wherever it's needed. This pandemic has created such panic among the people of the world that it will have effects far beyond the sickness and death that it brings. Many will lose their jobs for a while and may even suffer such serious financial setbacks that they will be in danger of losing their homes, and they may even get to such a state that they're not able to provide for their basic needs. Be ready to help them. I'm sure that many churches will have fundraising drives, and that is certainly one way to help. Another is simply to open your own wallet to the needy. You do not need to work through an organization. Just give, and do so expecting nothing in return. If God has given you plenty and some extra to spare, He didn't give that to you to waste it on yourself. It was given to you so that you could help others as a demonstration of God's grace and an illustration of the grace that God has shown to you. You can firmly rely on this promise. Seek first the kingdom of God and all these things, food, clothing, and other necessities, they'll be added to you. And do not go to the store and grab for yourself every bit of some commodity without regard for your neighbor's need. This would be to violate our Lord's word, give no anxious thought about tomorrow. Sufficient for the day is the evil thereof, and your Father knows you have need of these things. There can hardly be a more obvious denial of trust in God than to hoard things for yourself at the expense of others. It does not matter that you may have the money to buy it all up. Love demands that in times of want, we all share what resources there are. There could hardly be a worse testimony of the Lord's goodness than a professed Christian going through the checkout line, having taken such large amounts of common commodities that others are forced to do without. Right now, for the believer, there can hardly be a better way for you to prove your confidence in God than to go about your life as you did before, except for those things or those changes necessary for the common good, trusting that tomorrow's needs will be supplied by tomorrow's grace. And seventh, in order to walk worthy of the gospel of Christ, we must in everything give thanks. What better time to take note of all the good that God has done for us in the past than such a time as now when some of those past blessings are being taken away for a while? Are you suffering some hardship due to this virus and its health and economic consequences? What better time to take note of how good it was before your suffering, recognizing that all that former goodness was a gift of His mercy? If you're like me, you're prone to forget to thank God for the many regular mercies He bestows on us each day. And sometimes we become so neglectful of giving thanks to God that we become bitter when God takes those mercies away from us. But in order to avoid the bitterness, call to mind the years of the right hand of the Lord and give Him thanks for what He has done in the past. And keep an eye out for His unexpected mercies in this time of trouble. They will certainly be there. And also give Him thanks that He did not leave you in your unthankful state, but brought a bit of adversity into your life to remind you of how good He has made your life. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for His mercy endures forever. May the God of heaven, who works all things according to the counsel of his own will, protect you in this time of trouble. And may he enable you to demonstrate what it is to truly, truly trust him in times of trouble. The Lord bless you.